With only a few days left before the current continuing resolution expires, it's back, the threat of a government shutdown. Now, it's likely Congress will avoid that with another CR, but no one knows for how long. For a look at whether they'll inch it along week by week or extend it until May, David Hawking, senior editor of Roll Call. And David, what are they likely to do in the next couple of days?
So it seems as though by mid-morning or sometime today, the Republican leadership of the House and Senate will unveil what's going to be in this bill. It's being very negotiated by a very small group of people. The rank and file is not involved. And I want to say at the start that I think that while there is suspense about what's in the bill, I don't think there is any anxiety that it's going to prompt any kind of showdown, shutdown theatrics.
What do we know about the difference between what the Republican House wants and what the Republican Senate wants?
Everybody wants as many different goodies as possible. So the negotiators here are mostly about keeping things out and keeping the number of sort of moving parts or deviations from just keeping the government running in place at a minimum. The first way in which the House and the Senate were different was that the House wanted to have a CR that extended until the end of March, and senators asked that it go maybe as late as into May because they are worried that they will have enough other things to do at the start of next year to do with president confirmations of cabinet secretaries, maybe a fight over the Supreme Court vacancy, that they wanted even more time. There is a middle ground, which is the middle of April, is the congressional Easter Passover break. So we don't know yet exactly which of those times is going to prevail, but it seems like whichever time they choose, that won't be a deal breaker. Beyond that, there's a disagreement over what, if anything, to do to make the Defense Department a little less anxious about having to keep running on a CR. Another thing that they need to decide is actually whether to keep the CR overall spending level at the current level or actually allow it to go up by just a tiny, tiny fraction, which would make Republican conservatives angry.
The meeting that's going to result in this will be a reconciliation meeting, so there's going to be one bill?
Oh, there's going to be one bill, right. The leadership, the Mitch McConnell leadership in the Republican Senate and the Paul Ryan leadership in the Republican House have been talking over the last several days. They say that by sometime on Tuesday, they will have a bill. And at that point, if they do it at any time on Tuesday, that under the regular rules of the House, it could come up on Thursday in the House and then go to the Senate. If they feel as though there's going to be any shenanigans, the House would stick around, but that would essentially be the last thing the House has to do for the year. And so if you see the House members being told that they're free to go home for the weekend and for the rest of the year, that would be a clear sign that there is no anxiety that the Senate will do anything except accept what the House has sent its way.
Now, President Obama is still the president, so this is not something that Donald Trump is going to sign. Any signals from the White House about its must-haves or must-not-haves?
I think they have really no haves or must-haves, unless there is some surprise in what the leadership announces is in the bill. The last thing President Obama wants in his last few weeks in office is to be seen as provoking some anxiety over a shutdown right before the holidays. I don't think there's going to be anything too dramatic in there. I think if anything, the administration will get what its military commanders want, which is some peace of mind that they'll have the money they need for overseas contingencies between now and the springtime.
I think at this point, the Obamas just want to enjoy eggnog and the view of the tree in the time they've got left.
Right. And all those incredible roster of holiday parties that apparently they don't like, but that are sort of an obligation of being president.
Yeah, we'd all die to go to them if we could. All right, let's moving ahead and looking ahead at the possibilities in the next administration. There's a pretty good article at Roll Call about how Tom Price, as Health and Human Services Secretary, presuming he takes the job and is confirmed, would go about changing things at Health and Human Services.
The first thing he's going to change at Health and Human Services is its attitude towards the so-called Obamacare law. And just to review what's happening there is that one of the things that is going to happen right at the start of next year, even before Donald Trump becomes president, is that it looks as though the Senate first and then the House will adopt, believe it or not, a budget resolution for the budget year that we're now a third of the way through. The reason they need to do that is that paves the way for a so-called reconciliation bill, which would be how they, the Republicans, could repeal Obamacare without fear of a Democratic filibuster, and they would repeal it with an expiration date that would be a year or two or maybe even three down the track to buy them time to figure out how to replace it.
So this will be probably part of the legislative activity very early on in the new year.
That's the idea, is to actually get this budget resolution done, which doesn't require the president's signature. A budget resolution is the president's dealt out of that. That's an entirely congressional activity, to get that done so that when Mr. Trump does become president on January 20th, one of his first acts could be signing the bill that repeals Obamacare.
Well, that'll be interesting to see, and it will change things for people at Health and Human Services. But you also are writing in your column, Hawking's Here, this week, about the new Democratic leadership in the House. And you focus on Massachusetts Representative Richard Neal, who, just from description and reading, seems like almost a 30-year member of Congress, a mid-bench kind of just guy in Congress. And now he's headed toward House Ways and Means.
That's right. He has kept somewhat of a low profile. He is one of those people that if you cover Congress, you know that he is a very studious guy, sort of a policy wonk, knows a whole lot about the arcana of tax policy and social safety net programs like Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. But he has been sort of toiling in relative obscurity, sort of for the general interest press. People who cover the Ways and Means Committee know him well. And suddenly, he becomes one of the most important foils for the new Trump administration, because a week ago, it looked like this job was going to continue to be held by Sandy Levin of Michigan, 85-year-old guy who's been the top Democrat on Ways and Means for 6 or 7 years. He decided to give up the top Democratic seat on the committee as a way to help a younger generation of members move up. What he was said he was doing that for was to help a guy named Javier Becerra of Los Angeles, who is a rising star in the Democratic Party for some time, had been in the Democratic leadership, was term limited out, was looking for something new to do. And then the next day, Javier Becerra decided he'd rather go back and accept an appointment as California Attorney General from Governor Jerry Brown. So then it then falls to this guy, Richie Neal, former mayor of Springfield, Massachusetts. As you say, he's been around since almost 30 years in the Congress, and sort of sees himself as the kind of guy, sort of the lunch bucket appeal to the working class Democrat that more Democrats think that they need to be appealing to, that type of Trump voter, and that he feels like he can fit that bill and go up against Trump toe-to-toe on who's speaking better for the working man or the working person.
But if he is a tax policy wonk, and there are a lot of tax proposals that Donald Trump wants to make, maybe it'll turn out they can do business.
You know, I would think that it is possible they can do business. Richie Neal has been talking about doing a tax overhaul for a long time. He has been, I'm not saying working with, but he's been sort of on the same page as Paul Ryan, who used to be the chairman of the Ways and Means Committee before he became the speaker, about doing tax simplification and an overhaul, which has not happened since the mid-1980s. So, yes, I think in theory they could at least, talk together. Whether they'll end up with the same priorities remains to be seen. Whether Mr. Trump in the end really wants to have tax cuts for the richer people be at the heart of his tax overhaul proposal or not, and whether what kind of deals the Democrats are willing to cut remains to be seen.
David Hawkings is senior editor at Roll Call. As always, appreciate that update.
Thank you, Tom.
You can find a link to his latest column and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.